Good morning. I think I'm on, right? Very good. Good to see all of you this morning. You all right?
Yes, sir.
Got it, girl. I need to know, make sure you're awake and ready to go. So, welcome to Paramount Church and our worship service this morning. And for guests that are here, we're always honored that you're here. And my name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors here. Rush is usually our main preaching pastor here, and then I preach about every 6 weeks, and then we have pastors in training that preach about once a quarter. And so you picked a Sunday where you got stuck with me, so you can come back next week. Pastor Rush will be preaching again. We're going through a study through the book of John, and so as you saw this morning, we read out of John 18, 25 through 27. We're looking at Peter's denial and our encouragement. I want to read from Luke, just out of the other gospel, just another writing about the same situation, the same thing that is going on. Just written by a writer that you see that the Holy Spirit is working together. And in that passage, we're in Luke 22, 54 through 62, and he says, "They seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light, looking closely at him, said, 'This man also was with him.' He denied it, saying, 'Woman, I do not know him.' A little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You also are one of them.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, 'Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not. I do not know what you are talking about.' And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he said to him, 'Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times.' And he went out and he wept bitterly." If you look over at Matthew 26, same passage written by Matthew. Verses 30 through 35. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out of the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered him, 'Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away.' Jesus said to him, 'Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' Peter said to him, 'Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you.' And all of the disciples said the same." We see here a rather sad story. Be very convicting. We've been looking at Christ constantly moving forward towards the cross. And just this march, and he will not be deterred as he continues to move forward. And the things that we would reject and say, no, Christ keeps moving forward, and he keeps speaking, you know, saying the things. It's just driving him to the cross to do the will of the Father. It's interesting how you see that the Holy Spirit here has got this scene going on, this narrative that we're reading through, and this story that we're looking at. And in contrast, you got Christ moving forward, getting arrested, never done anything. And Peter, in the contrast, denying that he knows Christ, compromising. Look at Peter's rejection of Christ and his word. Christ is moving forward. Peter is drawing away. He pulls back. What do you think of when you read this scene? Just get this picture in your mind of what's going on this evening. Christ has already told him You will do this just a few hours later. There's parts of me, I'm like, Peter, what are you doing? What are you doing? It says in there, Peter followed from afar. It's hard to follow Christ from afar, isn't it? It's very difficult. A lot of distractions when you follow from afar. Peter sat down with the enemies. Why didn't he go with the other disciple? Where's the other disciple? I asked Isaac this morning, I said, where's the other disciple? He said, I don't know. He kind of leaves the scene, doesn't he? I don't know. He's still there somewhere. We just don't know exactly where he's at. Maybe he's sitting there and he didn't open his mouth. Maybe he's not. Maybe he moved on after he got Peter to come into the court. And he moved on and he's up and he's with Christ. We don't know. It's sheer speculation. We just don't know. But in my mind, I'm going like, Peter, why didn't you stay close to him? We kind of need one another. We talk about that. We do community together. It's so important. You can't live this life on an island by yourself. It's just not possible. It's not designed that way. God's created the church. It's a body. All the parts are linked together, serving one another in being this body that just screams the gospel to a lost world by the way that we love one another. God, Peter, why didn't you just go on and draw close to Christ? Why'd you stop? I mean, he just told you just like hours ago. He warned you. This day you will deny me before the rooster crows. Peter was ready to die with Christ. I'll go where you go. I'll die with you before I deny you. Was he really ready to die for Jesus? Or he just kind of liked the idea of being a martyr in his mind? It'd be a great way to go, wouldn't it? I'm like, Peter, get out of there. You're warming yourself with the enemy. You sat down with those who've come out to arrest him. You're warming your body and your heart is growing cold towards Christ. I'm thinking, stop. And yet as I look at my own life, same thing happens. Did he not believe the word of Christ? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe God's word? He had God himself sitting there speaking to him, telling him, you're going to deny me. You think you would be a little prepared, wouldn't you? It's confounding to me in a lot of ways. But yet we know the scriptures. You believe the scriptures? We believe them. Do we live them? No one can serve two masters. For you love the one, you'll hate the other. James tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We're also told to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Therefore, be imitators of God, his dearly beloved children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us a fragrant sacrifice and offering to God. You believe the scriptures? Rush finished out the other day in a passage 2 weeks ago. Philippians 2. Have this mind among you that is like Christ, willing to die and lay your life down, which is yours in Christ Jesus. This is the mind that we are all to have. This mind of Christ. This moving forward. This pursuit of doing the will of God and laying our lives down in sacrifice so that the gospel will go forth. Do we deny? Forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. I'm sure you probably got verses that come to your own mind. My prayer for us today is that we would grow in humility as we would sit here and we look at Peter and say, Peter, just go. Why don't you do this? And it's like, don't be too proud. That we would be humbled. That this would cause us to see such a desperation for God moment by moment in our life. How easily we can be twisted. How easily we could be drawn away. That we would walk in this abiding love. That it would create in us a great hatred for sin. Oh, we think very lightly of our sin. And this is the very thing that's driving Christ forward and moving him to the cross. So as we gaze at Peter's life here this morning, and we look at this moment of this denial of Christ, I want you to take a gaze at your own life. Ask the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us this morning. Look at our own life. What is it that Christ needs to do in our life today? What ways do we deny Christ? What would be written about us if God was still right? And be placed on the pages for everybody. Years to come to read. What would God be writing about you today? There's caution here for us, and it's a great caution against self-confidence, confidence in our flesh, seeing walking in the flesh as opposed to walking in the Spirit. And how quickly it seems to happen within us. The fight that we have, it just seems ever so subtle. We look at Peter and he shows us boldness all the time, doesn't he? And he shows us destruction like right on the heels of his boldness. I mean, he just, one minute he's the guy stepping out of the boat and he's walking on water. And a second later he takes his eyes off of Jesus and boom, and then he's going under going, hey, save me! Christ is coming in, and we just studied not too long ago. He's washing the feet of the disciples. Peter's like, you're not washing my feet. And before it's over, he's like, oh, not just my feet, wash my whole body. Lord, I'll die for you. It wasn't just a few chapters back in John 15:5. Jesus tells us, goes, you can't do anything apart from me. Without me, you can do nothing. Hear that today. We can do nothing apart from Christ. We think we can. I got this. You ever think that way? Are you desperate for God? Or do I? I've got it. I'm good. Oh, wait. It's not going so well. Hey, God. Hey. I need you. No, I got this. I can warm myself with the enemy. I'll be okay. I'll be all right. I don't have to go do whatever. I can listen to this stuff that's coming into my ears. It won't impact me. It won't change me. It doesn't change the way that I live. I can watch this stuff fill in your blank. What are you watching? And you think that you can strive for holiness and watching that stuff coming into your eye gate, the thing that we guard against because it goes into the very heart of us and out of our heart are the issues of our life. What are you watching, men? I can do it. I'm all right. No, you're not. No, you're not. I don't really need to strive for holiness. I mean, that's a little ridiculous, isn't it? Really? Yes, really. That's the call on our life. It's a call to holiness. We were talking about that this morning in ABF. And how do we do this? And the duties that we put into place, and the spiritual disciplines. Why? Because the call is here. Peter, one of the 12, he's living with Jesus. Walking with 11 others, 10 others. Within eyesight of Jesus. You think you're all right? One moment by himself. Brought in by the other disciple. We don't know where he's at. We don't know whether he's here and he did not open his mouth. We don't know if he went on and he's gotten closer to Christ. What we do have is the Holy Spirit gave us this picture of Peter, and he's not making it. He's denying Christ within eyesight of Jesus, watching what's going on with Christ. What is it? Why didn't he remember all the things that Christ had told him? This is where I'm going. This is what I'm going to do. I'll go with you. You have that heart, don't you? If you don't, I sure hope you do. We live our life for Christ. That's our ultimate goal, is to be like Christ, to live and lay our life down so that others can come to Christ. That we can make much of Him everywhere we go. All it took is one little girl watches the door. Hey, you're one of them, aren't you? No. Oh, no. Sitting there just warming my body, warming my hands. Another one goes, you're one of them, aren't you? Oh, no. At what point you're sitting here going, you got to remember, right? I just did it. I just denied Christ. You've had a moment, haven't you? Where you're like, oh, I should have said something. Or I just kind of withdrew. And man, the Lord just prompted me to say something. No. And you're not even threatened with your life. You're just threatened with a little bit of intimidation. Or getting a label thrown on you. He is at least thinking, dying sounds good until it meets you in the face. And then, like an hour goes by. At some point, like, you gotta, I'll pull it together. I'm so pulling for him. I'm like, come on,
Peter, you can do this.
Then he lays a curse on his life. And then starts cussing. As he denies Christ. Within eyeshot. I started to do the sermon this morning, and I was sitting there the other day and going to bring, just like play some sounds over the thing, say, can you recognize this? One of them was like the sound of a Ferrari taking off. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, guys would like it. And then there's one of a shotgun, like, choo, choo. Very definite. And I guess I'm kind of like a guy, but I mean, these are just some of the sounds you're looking at. Yeah. There was one of laughter. You know, and the more you sat there, it's one of those where you're kind of like, okay, all right, you're just laughing. But next thing you know, you find yourself kind of laughing. And then there's one of a rooster crowing. I was just going to have it just scream through here. The third time, rooster crows, cock-a-doodle-doo. And at that point, the scriptures say, Peter remembered. It took something. It took what the Lord said would happen to cause him to say, what have I done? And Luke tells us in his writing, that there was just this one look. Rush gave us a look here about 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you picked up on it. But it was in the same message. And he was preaching, and Peter was there, and as they were coming to arrest him, he pulls out his sword, or his knife, or whatever it is. It's long enough and sharp enough that he chopped a guy's ear off. He probably missed trying to split his head open. And Rush just kind of looked, and it's like, Christ's like, man, Peter, like, put your sword away, man. Like, really? Put your sword away. And again, what is Peter thinking? We learned, cohort, that could be anywhere from 200 trained officers ready to do battle to 1,200. Is Peter going to take on all of them? He must have thought he was getting ready to do something. This was a look. And it says, and the Lord turned and he looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he said to him before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. What kind of look do you think that was? Don't know. You need to be careful if you speculate with Scripture, because if it's not there, we don't need to add to it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that look? Just place yourself in there. Just imagine, even if I just make eye contact. With the one who you love so much that you would die for. And you sat there and denied him three times over a period of time. And he looks at you. I hope you also remember going, Peter, I prayed for you. Your faith will not fail. I said, Peter went out and he wept bitterly. I think we see here a part of Peter's response of repentance. I think it was a look of grace, which brought godly sorrow, that he wept. That is a term in the Greek. It means wept, that it was like sobbing, wailing aloud, crying bitterly, violently. I think you get a really clear picture of true godly repentance from just a look. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and my eye will be upon you. Lord is always, always looking at us, gazing on us, loving us. Are you walking as well as Peter's walking right here? I've got some really good looks out of that little comment right there. In the end, it just took him a look to respond. Does God have to have a rooster crow? Does he have to have somebody come up and say something? Does he have to? What, how do you handle your sin? Are you walking close enough so that all it takes is just a glance from the Savior? Oh, and I'll turn from my ways. I'll turn from my desperate heart who still has his remaining sin in it because of the great love that I have for you. Just a gaze into the eyes of the Lord, and he responded. Are you walking so closely with Jesus? Is that all it takes? If not, what's stolen your heart away? What's stealing your affections away? Where we're not walking with Christ. That we're not in fellowship with Him. That He is the treasure of my life. And nothing would steal that away from me. No matter what comes our way. No. Learn from this. This is our encouragement. Look at this. That's why God gives this to us. Gaze at your own life this morning. The Holy Spirit is here. We trust in that. If there's any work done, it'll be because He's doing it. And I have great confidence that He is. And if you're a believer, I know that He is in you. I know that He is here and that He will convict us. You place in your life. What is it? What is it that needs to be rooted out? What is it that maybe needs a hand that's chopped off so that I will forsake sin and that I will pursue Christ with everything that I have? Nothing will steal that affection away. And it's a constant battle. And I need the encouragement of others to come alongside me. Kevin, how are you doing? I'm fighting the fight. Man, I'm not making it too good right now. It happens. It's why we gather. It's why we meet. It's why you need to meet outside of the design things of the church. The church can't design all the discipleship that needs to take place. It's why we do a men's weekend, so that you'll build relationships and hopefully two guys will get linked up and they will lock hearts together and they'll long to be all that they can for God. That's the kind of fraternity he was talking about yesterday. It isn't just so we can have a fraternity here and men get together and have a great time together. It's so that we can pursue God with everything that we have. And everything in our life screams God. A God-sought passion within us that is contagious, that causes people to long to be like that. Repent. Do not coddle your sin. Do not think lightly of your sin. It is what drove Christ to the cross. Look at the cross. Look at what He's going through all alone. Taking it. I will lay my life down. Nobody's taking it. He's doing it. He's constantly moving forward for us. And that this mind is in us, it is among us, it's been given to us. Live like it. Fight against sin. Man, the evil one just goes about and it's like so subtle. Is this okay? No, it's not okay. The least little, don't do it. Stop. Turn back. Yeah, but no, don't do that. Like, just keep looking. We need horse blinders. Peter wept bitterly over his sin. And this sin ain't even greater than any other sin. It's pretty astounding. Look into the eyes of Jesus this morning, yourself. You want to face Jesus today? He's coming one day. Could come today. Could come before I finish. That'd be awesome. Be incredible. Get me out of this sin-sick world. I'm tired of fighting this fight. But I'm going to fight it until you come. Humble yourselves and draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. We have a call on our lives to be holy and acceptable and pleasing to God. Josh, in his message a couple weeks back, he says, I don't see any middle ground here. It's like all or nothing. There is no middle ground. You can't just coast through here. There's a call on our lives. That's why Christ came. That's why He died. That's why we got the Spirit. So that we can all be like Christ as we go about. And you touching people that I'll never see. Loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. No self-confidence. No, you just die to self. Daily. We crucify ourselves. Do you? Do you? Do you daily crucify yourself? Thank you for somebody shaking their head no and being honest. And even if I start my morning that way, it probably doesn't take me a couple hours and getting down the road and walking into work and I'm like, oh boy, I need to desire myself again. It is a battle that we fight. Why? For the excellencies of Christ. A look of grace. God gives us a look of grace. Repent. Repent. Turn. I want to finish with a word of encouragement because it's pretty heavy. What's God doing with Peter? He told him he's going to do it. And he did it. Remember back in Matthew 16, 18? Hey, Peter. I'm going to call you Peter. Petros. A rock. I'm going to build my church on this rock. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He don't look like much of a rock right now, does he? What is he doing? This is your rock. Look at all the other things. You see Peter, he's walking here and now he's destruction. Yeah, he's out again and then I'm falling. Hey, just, what's he doing? Peter's restoration. I'm not going to spend much time on this because it's a coming message. But in John chapter 21, as we'll close out this book, you see Peter go out and he weeps bitterly. Christ goes and he goes to the cross. And then he's going to meet back with Peter at another point in time, right? And they're going to be having breakfast one day. And he's going to sit down with Peter. And he's going to look at him and say, like, hey, Peter, do you love me? Man, there's another look. And a question. This time. It's like, do you love me? Peter's like, yeah, Lord. I don't know how Peter looked. I don't know whether he hung his head. I see myself just kind of like, yeah, I love you. Also knowing, yeah, I'm the guy who denied you. I failed you big time.
I don't know that you can experience a bigger failure. I don't know that it's just more difficult that could come into your life. And he's looking at Jesus and goes, hey, Peter, again, do you love me? Oh, yeah, Lord. You know I love you.
Three times. See, the encouragement here is that
Christ comes alongside and he restores Peter. And he redeems him. And he redeems his past. Listen to me. This is crucial. There's people who struggled with their past. And it's been redeemed by Christ. It does not dictate who you are. And it does not dictate how you have to live. You've been made a new creature in Christ. You have the Spirit of God that lives within you. And those have been redeemed. And look what he did with Peter. He failed you miserably.
And Christ comes along and he takes this and he redeems this in Peter's life. And you see Peter's restoration and going, hear me, there'll be messages coming on this as we get to this passage, but you need to hear this. There's so many people who are crippled by their past. We see it in Paul. Paul asked, going, hey, fix this. Oh, no. I get it. The grace is sufficient. Absolutely. Live in it. Learn to live in it. Get somebody to help you to live in it. It's the way that we live this life, through grace, by the power of His Spirit. We can't do it. Our flesh is weak. You get a picture of it. There's so many people that are just so crippled by that. And yet God wants to take that and redeem it and then use you to build a faith in you and a foundation in you that you will stand on and that He will become a rock. And He wants to do the same thing in us. He wants to use those things in your life so that you can minister to others who may come alongside, may not even have the same thing, but it's like, oh, let me tell you about Jesus and what He can do for you. It doesn't matter your circumstance. Yes, we'll work through it. And there's healing. There's all this that needs, this work that needs to be done. But, oh, man, there's great hope. And it's not just so that you'll be fixed. You're not going to be fixed. It's all broken. It's all broken until He comes back and gets us. We're going to fight with brokenness all the days of our life. So love it. Learn to live in it by the power of Christ. And live a life that you see in Peter as you see this restoration. You see Peter's proclamation. He's building a great man of faith. That's what God's doing here. In all of those things, Peter's up and down and up and down, and he's getting closer and closer, and he's continuing to move forward in his walk with Christ and his failures, and he's turning those into strengths and seeing how Christ is building in him a faith that will cause him to stand. And that's what God wants to do with us. We're all, our call is to grow into full maturity into Christ. Everybody that sits in this room, everybody who's a member of this church, that is a call on this church and every other church, that we together come and we grow into full maturity into Christ. That's the call. We got a long ways to go. And He'll finish it when He comes and gets us. But all the time now, we're pressing forward and we're moving forward. And that's what we are doing. That's what we are becoming. Dying to self. Dying to those failures. Pray, repent, put them under the blood. Go forward, living in grace. Living in the power of the Spirit. Don't let that beat you down. He's paid for that. You see, Peter and the 11. Peter stands and preaches at Pentecost. 3,000 souls get saved. See, Peter and John, he heals the lame man. You see, Peter and John, you kind of listen to this ringing. Preaches in Solomon's portico. Repentance of 5,000 people come to Christ. This is Peter, the rock. Peter and John were arrested. Guess who they're in front of? Annas and Caiaphas. Does that sound familiar? Acts 4, 1 through 13. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They're annoyed. Keep on preaching. Keep on sharing the gospel. They're always going to be annoyed. This is always going to bring conflict. You're not going to share the gospel and it not bring conflict. It's not possible. There's a battle raging. There's a war for the soul of a man or a woman or a child. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. And on the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas and the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. A lot of big wigs here. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power, by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, what? Filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you, to all of the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, this is my life verse, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. He's not warming himself at fire now. His heart is set on fire from the work that God has done within him, and he's building him up to be a rock, to stand and proclaim in front of people who could still take his life. Oh no, you crucified him. He's being really gracious about this. I mean, it just we try to witness in different ways, in loving and kindness, and always. We're not to be offensive, but I'm telling you, he's pretty offensive. I mean, he's coming at him. You. Peter's on fire. He goes, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you. Absolutely." Jesus asks you today, you love Jesus? That's what he longs to do in each one of us. Go proclaim this gospel. Do you love me? They were also arrested again and beaten. He makes a statement, we must obey God rather than men. Don't know which one's right. We're going to obey God. We'll trust him. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, 13 and 16, and called to be holy. This is a man that God has done a great work in. We're a chosen race. We're a royal priesthood. We're to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus. This is his words to you, his word of encouragement. Suffer for righteousness' sake. You have an enemy, a roaring lion who seeks to destroy you. You have a little girl in your life today that's a doorkeeper that you need to deal with. Don't leave here and not deal with it. Christ longs to do so much. We just love and be obedient to what he'd have us to do. In 2 Peter, I'll close. First chapter. As he is dying, he's in his last days, and he decides, this is what I'll write.
This is what I'll encourage you with. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those, us, who have attained a faith of equal standing with ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, if these qualities are yours and they are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. This is Peter writing and encouraging each one of us in our walk. Make every effort. Be more, all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This Peter writes, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. No special nugget. If you'll just do this, you won't deny. You won't, and it's not, it's, this is it. This is what he's writing. I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them. We know them. Many of you sit here today and you know these things. You know them. And are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in the body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon. As our Lord Jesus Christ had made clear to me, I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Believers, Christians, followers of Jesus, are you following afar? You living like, I got this. You got some little girl, doorkeeper in your life that you need to cut out the sin that so has crept in. So that we deny even proclaiming the excellencies of Christ. Repent. Weep bitterly. And then rejoice in this great grace and salvation that Christ has done for us on the cross. And that He comes to you, and as soon as you draw near to Him, as soon as you confess, He forgives. There is therefore now no condemnation. Walk in. Don't come in here and leave differently. Being in here and we're sitting under the preaching of the word. Boy, there's an accountability to be coming with that. Do this. Help me do this. This is hard.
We suffer more with fighting our sin and sinful decisions than we do for proclaiming the gospel of Christ. We're not suffering for the gospel much. And if you sit here today and you're not saved and you don't know this Savior, come. Run to Him today. Meet me or Rush or grab somebody you're sitting next to and let's talk about Jesus. We'll tell you more and more. He is coming to you. He is moving forward. That He's always doing that with us. In every step, He's constantly coming to us. Those who believe He's coming, restoring us. Here, come here. Love, I love you. You can't do this. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Come to Jesus today. If you don't know Christ as Savior and Lord, come to Him today. Meet us in the back. We will be glad to talk to you about that. Let's pray. Father, as we look at Peter's life, and if we will not be proudful, if we humble ourselves, and as we long for Him to be successful when He's not, we long for the same things in our own life. We see our failures, we know our failures more than anybody in this room. You know our failures. You know where we are struggling. You know the sin that has so easily crept in. Oh God, do a work here today and change us and transform us. You promised that You would. That's what You called us to do. And You will do it. Make our hearts willing. Oh God, make our hearts willing. That we would walk in such a way that all it takes is just a glance. So that we would have the privilege, whatever You called us to, it doesn't matter, just day by day, loving You, fellowshipping with You, walking with You, whether in difficulties, whether in trials, whether in persecution, whatever comes our way, will never steal the joys away that we have in our love and our affection for You. God, increase that in each one of us today. In Christ's name I pray.